Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Ahead on the show, Bell X1 is one of the most popular rock bands in Ireland, and of course I say one of, because, well, if it weren't for that pesky U2, Bell X1 might well be the most popular band in that country. Actually, pretty handily. Find out why the Irish love Bell X1 so much when they play songs from their recent album, Chop Chop, here in the Soundcheck studio. And in just a moment, soul singer Sharon Jones talks about life with her band, the Dap Kings, and how that life has changed dramatically in the past year. But first, throughout the month of July, we've been celebrating music from the summer of 94, and it's time to let some of you vent about one truly controversial segment about, yes, Ace of Base. Our guests Mario Correa and Julia Cunningham of SiriusXM recently squared off in a soundcheck smackdown about this Ace of Base song from 20 years ago. It was called The Sign, big hit from the summer of 94, and here's what some of you tweeted in response to that smackdown. Buddy Ponderosa asked simply, "How do you debate perfection?" Shayna Lip says, "This tape definitely spoke to me as a six-year-old." But Johnny O'Beardnest, great name, tweeted this, "Oh my God, burn it to the ground." Melody Gawkel tweeted, "Listening to the Soundcheck podcast on Ace of Base, and I can't stop laughing." And I hope, Melody, that you were laughing with us. Well, if you missed our Ace of Base smackdown or any of the segments from the summer of 94, head over to our website where we've rounded up all of our podcasts from the series. Just the thing for your next road trip or to kill time at work or when you just want to step into the time machine. It's all on soundcheck.org. Now, didn't I thank you in my loving arms when you was down and out there and lost all of your charms? You let me feed you, keep you warm at night. It's gonna come around, babe. It's your turn to cry. Oh, oh. With a voice like this, Sharon Jones seems invincible. The frontwoman of the gritty, brassy outfit called Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings is known for her singular voice and for a gigantic, imposing stage presence that defies her 5-foot frame. But last year, fans of Sharon Jones, myself included, got a scare, which led us to believe that Sharon Jones might not be invincible after all. How foolish was that? Because Sharon Jones is here to talk about her new record and her battle with cancer. And Sharon, it is so good to have you back here on Soundcheck.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Your most recent album is called Give the People What They Want, and all the people wanted last year was to see you kick cancer's butt. How is that going?
Oh, it's going great. I've been on the road ever since. Well, New Year's, I was diagnosed. The chemo was over. Next thing you know, by January the 4th, I was on Jimmy Fallon, going to California, doing all these shows, getting ready for February the 6th at the Beacon.
Which was your big comeback here in New York.
It was, and I was really scared because, you know, laying around for those months and not having energy.
Well, you know, it's also, I mean, people don't realize it unless they're singers themselves, but singing also involves muscles.
It's involved the muscles, and where I was cut straight across the diaphragm, you know, and it was just like, you couldn't, as a singer, I couldn't, actually from June to September.
Of 2013.
I was bent over, I couldn't straighten up from the cut, and I didn't even think about singing.
So it was initially, we were told, bile duct cancer.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then it turned out to be...
It was actually pancreatic cancer stage 2.
Which, forgive me for saying this, but most people don't survive that.
Yeah, I know. It was a little scary. That's why I thought, yeah. And what happened with the doctor, after the operation, I went in, I had to have the operation called a Whipple.
What is that?
The Whipple. And they removed my gallbladder. the head of my pancreas, a foot and a half of my small intestines, rebuilt me a bile duct and connected to my stomach. And that's what that Whipple was. And
that's the rebuilt bile duct.
Yeah, rebuilt bile duct.
Wow.
And when they removed the head of my pancreas, they realized that the cancer was in the pancreas, not in the bile duct. And it had went through the lymph nodes. And he said, you have to take chemo and all that. So when he came, and this was 8 days after the operation, they found all this out. So those 8 days, I'm thinking I'm bile duct cancer, maybe in about 2 or 3 months, I'll be back on it, you know.
Right. Now, it's important to say the album was pretty much done by this point, called Give the People What They Want. Was it your fear that this was going to be your swan song, that this would be the last we heard of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings?
I did. I thought that I would never even perform that song. I thought it would probably be, you know, the people just be like, well, I didn't ever get to see her show. Or, oh, I've seen her show. You should have saw her, man. And I just thought I would never perform it again. Yeah. Wouldn't be here.
Sharon Jones is here. The newest album from Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings is called Give the People What They Want. And this is the lead-off track called, surprisingly, Retreat. Called Retreat, which is a word we have not come to associate with Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings over the years. You know, always moving forward, you're a big, magnetic stage presence. But you did have to retreat for a while.
Oh, wow.
For, you know, recovering from the chemo and all of that kind of stuff. So you basically retreated upstate for a bit, right?
Yes, I did. Sharon Spring. And I had my chemo taken in Cooperstown at the Bassett Medical Center. They took so care of me. I mean, and being in Sharon Spring with Megan Holkin. Megan was a nutritionist. She taught me how to eat, taught me the green drinks with the spirulina and the Carilla and the spinach and the kale and the this and the that. And
well, now you're a Southern girl. You should have known from spinach and kale.
Well,
and
you
all.
Know, I mean, not that. Well, I know spinach and kale by just cooking it up and eating it, but not eating it raw and putting it in a drink and adding this stuff. And I, from taking that, when I went back to see the doctor 13 days later, he was amazed how well I healed.
And at some point you had to make up your mind, I'm done retreating.
Yeah.
I need to start getting into shape, which means getting the voice in shape, but it also means getting the rest of you in shape.
The main thing before the voice, just me.
Yeah.
Just because I couldn't even sing. I couldn't inhale the air. That's where the incision was. Yeah, and it was just scared, but once they diagnosed, when the doctor really told me that I had take the chemo, you know, the manager staff, you know, all the publishers, everyone, like, well, you know, don't let them know, you know, you're taking the chemo right now. Try to wait too close till we're going to release the record again. I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I said, you don't understand. I have to let my fans know.
Yeah.
For one thing, they're going to start this chemo. I'm going to lose my hair. And then if I'm going to want to put up a picture, and then they're going to like, what happened? I thought she said, oh, she didn't tell us. And I'm like, I want this. I want my fans to know.
Well, now, when you mentioned before, you know, going out as you recovered, doing the TV shows out in California, February 6th was your big target date, the Beacon here in New York, your big homecoming, and you showed up bald. You could have worn a wig, but you went out there with, and you said, since I don't have hair, I'm going to shake my head. Which you then promptly proceeded to do. So, you know, that was a decision.
It was a big decision because, I mean, even I tell the story now in one of my songs. I mean, I looked in that mirror and I didn't like what I saw, you know. I mean, literally my nails, my skin even got dark in my face, my hands, inside my hand, all of my fingernails, my toenails, they're still clearing up now. The chemo, it's like, cooked me. I mean, like, then the sores would come in. I would have to do this mouthwash to numb it. It was a trip.
Yeah.
It was, and the weight loss. I mean, I'm still 16 pounds lighter, which I like. It's a good thing.
But, well, now, yes.
But I went from like 156 pounds to like 120 inside of like, what, not even 3 weeks. That's how I just, the weight was just coming off. So I'm dying. This is it.
But you made it back out onto the stage there at the Beacon in February without the wig. That was the decision. And your hair is coming in beautifully now.
Yeah, but you know what? When I was sitting in that chair and they was shaving my little braids off, tears was falling. And you know, all this is being documented now, you know, because Cabin Creek Films are doing a documentary on VH1. It's behind it. All of this is on tape.
Really?
Yes.
The whole process?
The whole process of me getting the haircut, even doing the chemo where they was, you know, putting this stuff. We got all that. And I really went to the Cancer Society. They have the wigs and stuff. And I went in. They tried on all these wigs. I'm sitting in this chair. And every time they put a wig on, I would look like an older woman, you know. And then the last one wig they put on, I said, no offense to Miss Dionne Warwick. I love her. But I look like Dionne Warwick, the psychic. Let me tell you the future. And it was like, I look like Dionne Warwick, the psychic. And I just couldn't do it.
All right. Sharon Jones is with me on Soundcheck, vocalist, of course, from Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. The most recent album called Give the People What They Want. It was released after the chemo, you know, but you did keep us up to date on your struggle and your fight all the way through. And then when it came time to make a video, I mean, the first video was animated because you were in no condition. But then for Stranger to My Happiness.
That was a tough decision, too. The making of that, you know, one thing, I had to leave Sharon Spring, get on the train, ride to the city. And with my immune system low, the doctors tell me, you cannot catch a germ, you cannot catch a cold, because so I'm nervous getting on should I wear a mask, trying to put the mask on.
Yeah.
And I'm so weak that I couldn't even walk. They had to use the red card and push me in a wheelchair. And so I'm doing this video. Body's a mystery. Just how you came right in and stole my heart away. Early in the morning, 8 hours it took this video. So I would stand and sing, and I would sit back down and wrap up. And that last time, I said, guys, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this. So that last time I got up, I was like, can't do it anymore. And it was like, okay, we're really done. Just stand here at the end, and you see on the video, see me like laughing. So that was all they had to film. And I went home. I had to go back to upstate. I had to go to the doctor the next day for my, you know, the chemo. They couldn't even give me the chemo because my immune system was low. So they had to give me the shot to build back up my white cells. And that shot is so painful. I did not know it was going to be that painful. The next day, it was like my bones, like someone had a knife digging in my pelvis bone.
And was VH1 documenting all of this as
That part of it, they didn't get to document because I had came back and was coming back to Sharon Springs, and I was so glad they wasn't there.
Yeah.
But they have some stuff, man. I can't wait to see the stuff.
When will we see that?
They're working on it now. According to them, it should be out before the winter is over. We'll see.
Right.
Hopefully at the beginning of next year.
Well, you can see the video for this song, Stranger to My Happiness, on our website, soundcheck.org. Here's a little bit of the song from the album called Give the People What They Want, the latest from Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
So many times there was a man, he met a girl and took her hand. He told her, never will I leave you, my love. But just as soon as he's gone again, she's a flapping in the wind, wondering what she must have been thinking of. She said, gone. I've been in and out.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings from their last record called Give the People What They Want. It is out now. Stranger to My Happiness is the song. There's the video. And speaking of video, if you want to see Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings in a great live performance downstairs in the green space, that's something we did about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
That is on our website as well, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings on Soundcheck in the green space. Find it at soundcheck.org. Give the People What They Want is the most recent recording from the band. And Sharon, we've been talking a lot this month with our various guests, with our listeners, mm-hmm. about the summer of 1994, the summer 20 years ago. Now, you've had, even before the cancer scare, you've had a very unusual life story. Where were you in 1994?
Well, 94, I should have been ending up. I did correction.
You were a corrections officer, yeah.
And then I left correction and I went to Wells Fargo. So I probably was ending up still being a security guard at Wells Fargo. Because when I met Gabe, those guys, I had my uniform on. And I remember that now. So, y'all make my mind go back because my mind will be like, what did I do 2 days ago? But now you got me going back 20 years.
So wait, you met the guys who would eventually put together the Dap Kings. You were in uniform when you first?
Yeah. When I went in the studio and recorded Damn It's Hot, I had walked in. I had this gun on my side. This little, you know, the little suit with the little stripe
down
the
middle. And they were probably thinking, what have we gotten ourselves into?
You know, they sort of knew, but that day they didn't know I was going to come in there, you know, dressed. And so, you know, those guys were experimenting, doing little 45s in a little studio. And this studio was so raggedy, the air conditioner was so like, they like, turn it off. So they turned this air conditioner off, and it's like in New York in this whatever summer, and it's like 90-something degrees, and it's probably like 100 in there. And I'm walking, I'm like, and they playing this music. I'm like, dum, 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 like, woo. I'm like, that's a nice song. I'm like, but man, what's the name of this song? They're like, we don't know. I'm like, but damn, it's hot in here. I'm like, can y'all turn the air on? And so you see that in that
so
song.
So that becomes
part of the song. Like, and I said, okay, I'll go this, and then y'all go, damn, it's hot. You know, so that's how we came up with it.
So 20 years ago, you were singing.
Oh, I never stopped singing. I was singing probably at the time with the wedding band, with the choir, you know.
In church.
Yes, directing my choir's working. But I was with my wedding band called Good and Plenty. And John Castellano was a band lead. I used to say, my Italian band lead, he'd say, would you please stop saying that? I'm like, okay.
So were you in Queens at that point?
Well, yes, I was in Queens, living in Far Rockaway, Queens. I had moved in with my mother and... I moved in 94 and 5. I had my own little place. I was living in the city on 21st Street, you know. Mm-hmm. And then after I had a bad engagement and broke up with, you know, my whoever, and he went on to marry someone else, you know.
There's a song or two about that too,
I don't even want to sing about it. Because if you write a song about that, every time you sing it, it'll bring back that memory and you want to kill that person. But, but I've moved on and at that time I ended up having to move back in my mom's house. So that was in 99. And also the reason I had to move back again, I had to have an operation and I wasn't covered now that I left correction and not, you know, Wells Fargo now. And I'm like, so I had to go back home. My mother to get some kind of medical assistance to help me. It wasn't like, I never, the welfare thing, it wasn't there, but for that Medicaid, getting the card and for them to watch me. And that helped me. And I had to have, I'm always running my mouth, talk. People sometimes say, you talk too daggone much, Sharon. But that was a big operation I had to have. And I literally had a hysterectomy because I had fibrotic tumors. And I was really, so for the last few years, I've been going through some stuff, not even knowing what's going on. And then finally you think you got your health, and then you come to...
And then you get this, yeah. So now, the Dap Kings, you and the Dap Kings, very successful. You tour around the world. Do you have health insurance?
Oh, yes, we do. And that's what's kicking our butts right now. It's just so expensive. We pay almost like, what is it, $10,000 a month for health insurance. And it's like, and so all that time I was out sick, they covered certain things. And I thought the bill where I had the Whipple in the New York, the doctor that was supposed to have been covered, found out later it wasn't covered. So I had to pay that money right out. Right now I'm down to like maybe $3,000. I still owe them, but now I got to build everything back up, my funds and my, you know.
Well, there you are, out on the road again.
On the road again.
Sounding great, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Oh, before I let you go, you sang backup with Lou Reed on the song Sweet Jane before he passed, obviously. It seems like everybody in New York has a Lou Reed story. Mine involves him coming on our show and inserting a couple of curse words into a song that didn't have them before.
Wow.
What's your Lou Reed story?
Lou Reed was Lou Reed. So my story with Lou is, of course, when I did the stuff with him in Brooklyn, and what's his name from Johnson's?
Anthony.
Anthony from Anthony and the Johnsons. He was there, and these kids from this school, and we singing this song, "Here is the bed that she slit her wrists that cold and dark night." You know, like, ooh, these songs are so dark. But then once they put everything together and with the choirs and the whole story, it was actually a beautiful thing that Berlin, just watching Lou get up there to watch this
guy.
This
is when he redid his early 70s record,
Berlin,
front to back, live.
And so he took it. New York, we did it there at the little theater. Then he wanted to go, he took it to Australia. And the Sweet Jane thing, I wasn't going to sing. Lou was not going to let me sing until we got in Australia. And he went for interviews and they were saying, "So Lou, how does it feel having the magnificent, great Sharon Jones and Ant? You got two great singers behind you. I know you're going to get her to sing something." I was not scheduled to sing.
What were you there to do?
Just sing background. Not sing a lead song.
I see.
And so when Lou heard that, so he came back and like, "Sharon, come here."
I had an idea.
"I want you to sing Sweet Jane. You ever heard it before?" And I'm like, no, sort of. He said, "Well, just how it goes, you know." "The ladies on the eyes are saying, Sweet Jane. Oh, Sweet Jane." Okay, and I start going, He's like, no, you going up. I going up. Listen to me. And I'm like, now my next talk was going to tell him, "You know what, Lou? If I got to sing it like that, I won't sing it." You know, I was going to tell him, too. And he came back and said, "You know what, Sharon? You go ahead on. Let me hear you sing this song. How you going to do it? Because I've been doing it. Just let me hear what you're going to do." Or Tina Turner. Every time something went, I want to go out. And I went to Jackie with a banker. Boom, boom. You know, I give him that. And at the end of the night, he just came to me, told the people, "The magnificent, wonderful Sharon Jones." I took him to the mountaintop. So that's my Lou Reed story.
That's a great Lou Reed story.
Thank you.
Sharon Jones has been with us on Soundcheck. It's a great Sharon Jones story, too. Beating cancer and the album out called Give the People What They Want. The band is back in business, hitting the road again at some point soon, I'm sure. And Sharon, great to see you once again. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Up next, another installment in our Summer of 94 series, radio DJ Anne DeLisi of WDET in Detroit joins us with three of her favorite albums from that summer 20 years ago, and later an in-studio performance from the Irish band Bell X1. This is Soundcheck.
Three, that's a magic number. the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Time now for another in our series of playlists that we call Pick Three, where a guest comes and picks three songs to share with us. Now, since we've been asking you this month to tell us where you were and what you were listening to in the summer of 94, we thought we'd ask our colleague Anne DeLisi of WDET in Detroit the same question. Her Pick Three takes us back to that summer 20 years ago. Anne, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having me.
So where were you 20 years ago, summer of 94?
I was at WDET, which I like to call the first time around. So now I'm back. And I remember the first song I want to talk about is Massive Attack Protection. And what really struck me about this was that they enlisted the talent of Tracy Thorn of Everything But the Girl to sing this song. Mm-hmm. And I am not a big fan of typically very long songs, but the 7-minute version of this song kept me captivated the whole time, which surprised the heck out of me, because it is, you get sort of sucked into this trip-hoppy, dreamy song that was so beautifully put together. And I fell in love with it the first time I heard it, and I thought Tracy Thorn's voice was put to great use on this song.
So it's Massive Attack. This is pre-Mezzanine, their sort of towering record from later in the 90s. But you were a fan of this band pretty early on then.
I was a fan of the band early on, and I liked Blue Lines. The other thing that I wanted to mention about this song is it sort of helped in some ways to pioneer or launch the trip-hop sound.
Yep.
that really got a real foothold later on. But Portishead came right after that, as did Tricky. And all of that was sort of connected. And I thought that this particular song had some influence on making that happen.
The song is Protection, from the album of the same name from 1994 and the band Massive Attack.
And I don't have no fear, I'll take on any man here who says that's not the way it should be. And I stand in front of you and take the force of the blow. Protection.
From the album of the same name by the English band Massive Attack, featuring vocals by Tracy Thorn, who was half of the band Everything But the Girl. And as Anne DeLisi of WDET was telling us, that song goes on for a lot longer. It's over 7 minutes long. So part of Anne DeLisi's Pick Three playlist, looking back at the summer of 94. So Massive Attack, you know, certainly had not kind of built up a lot of prestige, a lot of, kind of influence on this side of the Atlantic by then.
Right.
But there were other people who were beginning to make, kind of make a name for themselves. And one of them was Beck.
Definitely. And, you know, Beck has kind of been on my mind a lot since he had taken so much time away. And so now he's touring. And, he's got a new album out, which everybody was kind of surprised about and were anticipating for quite a long time. But we're going to go back to Loser. And the reason why is that this song was really like nothing we had heard at that time. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was in the WDET library and the music librarian said, "You have not heard anything like this. You have got to hear this." And we hadn't, because there was a hip hop influence. There was folk. There was a little bit of blues going on in this song. And, you know, when they did this song, the vocals were all done in one take. Beck didn't redo much of this song. The whole thing was cut in about 6.5 hours, I think it was. Hmm. And the funny thing is that he and his producer at the time, Carl Stevenson, they really didn't expect anything to happen with this song. And they both later on had, in interviews, had talked about how they wished that the lyrical content would have been more substantive. They talked about how, you know, Beck said he probably would have tried a little harder if he had known that, you know, this song was going to be huge. And so it took everyone by surprise and certainly put him on the map in a much bigger way. And of course, the song got started at college radio. Thank goodness for college radio. But at the time, it was like something we hadn't quite heard before.
Well, this weird combination, as you say, of a sort of hip-hop programmed percussion and then the sliding guitar and then the sitar. It was like worlds colliding in this little song.
It absolutely was. And the line, apparently, "I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me," came from Beck listening to himself rap. It was terrible. And that's what he said when he hurt himself. And so that seemed to have served him pretty well later on, right?
A surprise hit. A surprise to everyone, including its author, the singer Beck, with "Loser."
The plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the loser and the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple of couches. Sleep on the love seat. Someone came saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your food stamps for burning down the trailer park. Yo, cut it. So
"Loser" by Beck. That was one of the songs of the summer of 94. Ann DeLisi of WDET in Detroit is with me on Soundcheck, sharing her Pick 3 playlist, which looks back to that summer 20 years ago. So that was your first tour of duty at WDET?
My first tour of duty. I'm like a bag penny, just showed back up, you know, a few years later, of course. But one of the artists at that time, and I ended up doing a huge presentation on Jeff Buckley last year, as a matter of fact. So all of this information about him is fresh in my mind. But Jeff Buckley, I had the honor to interview a couple of times. And then I did a lot more research about him. And two of the biggest influences on him were Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin, and he was hugely influenced by Judy Garland.
Hmm.
And okay. If you listen to some of his phrasing in his music and you listen to her phrasing, it makes total sense. But he sounded a lot like his father. If you put the two of them together back to back and listen, there is that genetic quality where he sounds a great deal like his father, Tim Buckley.
Mm-hmm.
But we hadn't heard anybody singing or presenting their music quite like that.
So Jeff Buckley's album Grace comes out in the summer of 94. And as I recall, you know, didn't make that big a splash, although people who heard it got deeply into it.
Right. As a matter of fact, Brad Pitt was one of the people that wanted to get a movie made about him. And I think there's three in the works. James Franco is playing him in one of the movies. But Brad Pitt has on his motorcycle the title of Jeff Buckley's album that came out after he passed, Sketches for My Sweetheart the Drunk. And people that became passionate about him became wildly passionate about him. And the music has this longing and intensity about it that is really infectious.
Mm-hmm. The album features his now famous version of Hallelujah, but the song that you've picked is Last Goodbye. Why?
I picked that one because by that time that I had made a transition in my radio career and I'd gone to another station, and when I went across the river to work in Canada, and I remembered sitting in that studio, and I was so excited that a commercial station was actually playing him at the time. And I remember sitting there thinking, this guy is going to be incredibly famous and everybody's going to know about him. And then I remember being in that same studio getting the information and the sad news that he had died.
The song is The Last Goodbye. It's from Jeff Buckley's 1994 album called Grace.
This is our last goodbye. I hate to feel the love between us die. But it's over. Just do this and then I'll go. You gave me more to live for, more than you'll ever know. This is our last embrace. Must I dream and always see your face? Why can't we overcome this wall? Baby, maybe it's just because I didn't know you at all.
That is the gifted but ill-starred singer Jeff Buckley from his album Grace, which would turn out to be the only studio record, the full-length studio record that he would release during his life. Last Goodbye is the name of the song, and Elise of WDET picking some favorites from that summer of 20 years ago. You mentioned you interviewed him a couple of times, right?
I did. The first time he came in and he was a guest disc jockey. And the second time, Columbia said, he's coming back to town. Do you want it? He'll be a guest disc jockey. And I don't know where I got all this bravado from, but I said to Columbia Records, I said, I would like to do it my way this time. And I would like him to perform on the air. And we actually did it live on the air. And he came in and he performed. And he was as intense. He was not the easiest interview. There was a real intensity about him. But he sounded incredible, and he delivered that day. And at some point in time, I had to drive him around, and I can't even recall the context. But I remember that he needed a ride, and there I was driving Jeff Buckley around, and he used to put a dozen roses on his mic stand. And he had the roses with him, and before he got out of the car, he handed me a rose. And
oh,
it was
nice.
Great. Yeah, he was really an amazing guy, no doubt.
Well, this is not the only time that we're talking about Jeff Buckley and Grace in our coverage of the summer of 94. I mentioned that album in our staff picks, which you can find on our website at soundcheck.org. And the album is also the subject of a new book, which we're covering as part of this series as well. But it's an appropriate place to leave it for now. And Elise of WDET in Detroit sharing a Pick 3 playlist with us, looking back to that summer of 94. And thanks very much for the musical memories.
Thanks so much.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for me. Music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
That's Jeff Buckley's version of the Leonard Cohen song Hallelujah from that album Grace. And as I mentioned earlier, we're diving even deeper into that record with Daphne Brooks of Yale University, who wrote an installment of the 33 and a Third book series about Grace by Jeff Buckley. That'll be on tomorrow's show on Soundcheck. Up next, when the Irish band Bell X1 joined us in the studio last year, they had just released a new album called Chop Chop. We'll listen back to that performance next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Back home in Ireland, the band Bell X1 are arena headliners and rank as the country's second biggest live performance act, after U2, of course. But the band's latest album, Chop Chop, may be their leanest, most concise record yet. and it has a New York connection, as we'll hear in just a bit. Bell X1 is back here in our Soundcheck studio, and they're going to play for us today, including this song called Starlings Over Brighton Pier. Here's Bell X1.
Starlings over Brighton Pier, what do they know, what do they hear? They block out the sun. If there was one, like iron filings upon the page, gather round leaders. I see faces that melt and flow. Old man's eye case. Starlings of a Brighton Pier. Who do they follow?
The Irish band Bell X1 live in our New York studio on Soundcheck with a song called Starlings over Brighton Pier. It appears on the band's newest album called Chop Chop. And let me introduce you to the members of Bell X1. Joining us once again in our Soundcheck studio, Paul Noonan, David Garrity, behind our drum kit, and a little bit of ukulele and vocals as well. That was a ukulele, right?
It was a ukulele. It's a funny shaped little instrument, yeah. This particular one, yeah.
Dominic Phillips behind the bass guitar and doing some backing vocals, and Bill Blackmore playing trumpet and flugelhorn here in the Soundcheck studio. It's good to have you guys back with a new album, and an album that has a bit of a New York connection.
Yeah, we recorded with Peter Kadis, and
who is the producer of Interpol and The National and a bunch of other New York-based bands.
Yeah, records and has made some records we've loved, you know, and we tracked him down, we stalked him for long enough that he finally relented.
Okay, guys, I'll make the record with you. Okay, okay.
And Thomas Bartlett.
And Thomas Bartlett,
The pianist who performs as under the name Dove Man and who's been here pretty regularly in our Soundcheck studio in various capacities over the years. What did he do, David, for you guys?
Well, he was apart from wearing the producer hat, he was a breath of fresh air musically in the studio. I suppose, like with album 6, you're kind of going, right, how do we approach this? What do we do new? And he was the guy that just steered us in the right direction, made chop decisions.
Mm-hmm. And was he actually playing?
He played piano and Wurlitzer with his wonderful effects. So it was great not only to hear what he added to the record, but just to watch him work and the attitude as well, with himself and Peter, just really with decision making, which is, I think, one of the biggest difficulties musicians face, is actually, you know, deciding what avenue to go down and go down it.
When enough is enough. I mean, the title of this album, Chop Chop, suggests that there was some idea going into this.
Yeah. Well, for the first time, we had the title before we had any music made. We wanted to approach it with that sort of absence of cerebralness in as much as we could, and to sort of.
You wrote a song about a murmuration of starlings. I don't think you got far enough away from the cerebral thing.
Yeah, okay. Well,
musically speaking.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, we used to be indecisive, but now we're not so sure. You know, there's definite sort of, we needed to make some changes. So we had a 2-week period and we were very brutal about sort of leaving it at that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Peter and Thomas heard the demos, which were really largely informed by how we had spent the last few years touring on and off acoustically, where we were stripping songs right back to nothing. And when we first demoed these songs, we were listening to what we were recording, just the three of us in the room, swapping instruments and the bare bones, really, and kind of going, do you know what? These songs don't actually need much more. And when Thomas and Peter heard the demos, they were like, now, just to be clear, are we going to keep it as kind of nice and bare? And we were like, yeah, okay. So, it was decided at that point to shrink the palette, as the expression Paul has been using. So,
shrink the palette?
The palette.
Yes.
Sorry, I have a bit of a cold.
You also have this funny accent. I don't know if you noticed that.
But the idea of shrinking pilots, though, is a pretty good one. There's a song in that.
Shrink the pilot.
We're speaking with the members of the Irish band Bell X1, their newest album, Chop Chop, recorded here in the States in Connecticut. That's where Peter Kadis usually works, right?
Yeah.
Bridgeport, yeah.
With Thomas Bartlett, a.k.a. Dove Man, well-known New York musical figure helping out. Now, the last time you guys were here on Soundcheck was 2011, and, you know, the Occupy movement was in full swing, and, you know, we were talking about the fallout of the economic collapse back home in Ireland. What's the situation there now?
I think the mood has improved a little in terms of, I don't know, there seems to be more vitality and, you know, as a direct result, I suppose there's loads of empty space around that people are now using for sort of pop-up shops and art, various you know, I'm part of a collective that we've taken over a space for and created little studios and rehearsal spaces, and that there's a lot of that going on. I think that's been a good piece of fallout.
Yeah. So there are all kinds of like almost completed residential units and like retail places that are empty.
Kind of, you know, big commercial spaces that are now sort of pop-up galleries and that sort of thing. So yeah. I think that's a good thing.
Hopefully it'll become the new Berlin, Dublin.
not cheap enough, though.
Boy,
no.
No.
Not by a long stretch. Which is sort of the double whammy because it is an expensive city to live in. I mean, or it's an expensive city to visit from my experience.
Right.
The reason I ask is because, you know, there is this Irish tradition of music having a kind of storytelling aspect. And, you know, you guys have sort of done that over the years. And I'm just wondering if, you know, the songs on the new album sort of reflect the current reality back home.
A little bit. I mean, there was a song on the last record called Sugar High, which I suppose was more sort of documenting that sort of the madness of the banks generally.
Right.
I mean, there was a pretty global thing, I suppose. But
that's a song you guys did for us here in the studio last time. And a great song, too. But you're here to play new stuff for us today. You want to do Faint Praise next? Paul Noonan and David Garrity, along with Dominic Phillips and Bill Blackmore. From the new album, this song is called Faint Praise. It's Bell X1, live on Soundcheck.
On faint praise, it's never getting stronger, no matter how much I throw, for it is flawed, dangerous, hollow, ringing in my ears, and the bitter aftertaste like rust. Yeah, I make the nice and sidestep anything that dares around a fire. I need to say it aloud. The life is short, filled with rictus smiles, wasted, and bring dishonor on this house. No, you must never squeeze the tea bag. So no more hand-wringing, no more anything for an easy life. Call it when I see wrong. So when I'm done and wheezing on my last day, I won't wish I'd do something else instead.
Faint Praise is the name of the song from Bell X1, live on Soundcheck. We had Paul Noonan, who started at the piano and then went behind the drum kit for that last song, and David Garrity, who started behind the drum kit, went to guitar for the last song. Dominic Phillips is still playing the bass. Bill Blackmore is still playing the horns. The band Bell X1, the new album is called Chop Chop. Guys, great to see you again.
You too, Sam.
Thank you.
It's coming faster now. And I never thought I'd be here, running past you now. But you're holding out on me, strip of lace in your collarbone. Think I caught you catching me.
That's the song Careful What You Wish For from the latest Bell X1 album, Chop Chop. Our session with the band first aired in October 2013, and Bell X1 will be back in New York soon. They're playing City Winery on September 11th. Tomorrow on the show, our Summer of 94 series continues with a look at one of the great vocalists of his generation, the late Jeff Buckley, and his 1994 album, Grace. Plus, an in-studio performance from the Wisconsin folk-pop band called Fox. That's spelled P-H-O-X. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.